Good adventures, everybody. I'm Melissa Bonzek, and welcome to episode 122 of Books Cubed. I am so excited to welcome Victoria Rokas today. We are talking about serial reading on Kindle Vella. Welcome, Victoria.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited too.
Yeah, I was so happy to find, okay, your serial. Now, everybody listening to the audience, I've talked about Kindle Vella before, but explain to anybody who has not heard of Kindle Vella what it is.
Well, Kindle Vella is part of Kindle Direct Publishing. It's their serial platform and kind of their answer to Wattpad and Ream and all the other serial platforms, which is really popular in other countries, just hasn't quite caught on here, at least not paid versions. And that's what Kindle Vella is. You get a chapter at a time. The first three are free, so you can check out a story, see if it's your kind of read. And if you like it, you can continue and buy tokens through Amazon. So you have to have an Amazon account. You can buy, virtual money tokens. And each episode costs anywhere from 6 to about 30 tokens each. So you're talking 6 cents to 30 cents a piece based on how many words is in that chapter. And it depends on the author, how long the story goes. Some authors have years and years of stories. They'll say this is season one, this is season two. Others will have, you know, standalone beginning, middle, end stories. So it varies from author to author, but it's meant to be read a little chunk at a time. So if you're in the car waiting to pick the kids up, or, you know, stuck in traffic and you want to just catch a few chapters, you can do that with Vella.
And if you want to listen, you can now, if you have an iPhone, I don't know about Android. If you have an iPhone, you can set accessibility so that it will read the story to you. So I want to talk about your Vella. I found your Vella, and I think it is the most clever thing that I have read in so long. It is called Neil the Squeal Gets a Deal, A Christmas Elf in Witness Protection. So without giving away too much, give us just the quick background of the story.
Well, I'll start by saying Neil was originally created to be a short, like, novella length story for the holiday season. I wanted something different, something that hadn't been done a million times. And I thought, well, I'll start it in November and I'll finish it up beginning of January. And it'll be a short, cute little story about an elf who turns state's evidence against Santa Claus, who's running all kinds of RICO schemes for years and years. And poor Neil, he doesn't pay his taxes. He has a gambling issue. And so the feds find him to be like the perfect patsy to get the inside scoop on Santa. Now, it's not like the feds didn't know that Santa was around and doing this for years, except, you know, administrations change, deals change, and the government was getting a little more greedy than they had in the past, which Santa said no to. So they were going to take him down using Neil the Squeal. Well, of course, Santa's a very beloved character. And in my story, of course, he really makes the toys for the children, which put all the parents at odds of trying to find toys for their kids at Christmas, since Santa wasn't about to deliver any. He was in federal custody. And being the good consumer world we are, all the toys have gone up in price. So like a Hot Wheel car is $42. And so parents are really stuck and they're very angry at Neil. So they have to put him in witness protection. In addition, Santa isn't too happy either about Neil turning him in. And so he has two reindeer shifter assassins, Donder and Blitzen, who are tasked with taking out poor Neil before he can testify before the grand jury on December 23rd. So the story was basically going to be this couple of days before Christmas, Neil and his U.S. Marshal, Dylan Cassidy, and it just sort of exploded from there. The choice for where they sent poor Neil was so bizarre, they decided to send him to the swamplands of Florida, which they figured no one would look for a Nordic elf in Florida swamps. So when Dylan and Neil Fisker get to Florida, they find out that they've been assigned this safe house, which is actually a rundown trailer in a trailer park. So they figure it's only a couple days they could make, you know, do. But the U.S. Marshal, of course, has his character. He's a grumpy, bitter person who has whose wife's divorcing him, who took their kids and took a cruise for Christmas rather than stay and wait for him to return from this assignment. And his last assignment, the witness ended up dead. So he's not like, he's person non grata with the U.S. Marshal. So he's really bitter about the situation. Neil does nothing but whine. And it was supposed to be basically a funny story about what happens in this trailer park. Well, I had this character in mind, Doris Rumbottom. She's the president of the trailer park's HOA. And she keeps popping in. She's very nosy. And they don't really quite know what to make of her. Of course, the U.S. Marshal is suspicious of her behavior. Neil just says, well, she's a hot-looking woman. I'm good with her hanging around here. And it turns out, I won't give too much away, that she has to help them escape an attempt on Neil's life. So Doris helps them, and then her character developed, and my feedback from the readers are, oh, we love Doris. Who's Doris? She can't be what she says she is. And through most of the story, we get bits and pieces about who Doris is, and she's definitely not who she originally said she was. So this all goes on, and there's a really interesting twist at the end, which of course you'll have to read to find it. But this little story turned into be a multi-chapter long novel length story. And with the premise that, well, there could be more adventures for Neil and Dylan and Doris Rumbottom. So it's a good Christmas story, but you could read it anytime.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. And I want to say that there are other sequels that you have already started.
Well, I have one like kind of drafted out. It's called with Neil and the Doris and Dylan, and it's called Purses, Curses, and Ancient Verses, and has to do with some kind of scheme Neil comes up with fake designer purses that goes sideways for these three characters. Originally, it was supposed to be set in Egypt. I thought, you know, mummies, curses, all of that. But now I just had the I'm going on vacation and I'm going to Greece. So I thought, well, maybe I'll like change the location to Greece and then I can pick up some inside tips when I go there for the storyline. But it's, again, a very funny story with a lot of misadventures and a twist at the end. So I guess Neil might become a serial. We'll see. I keep trying to write these standalones and then they end up like becoming serials.
Now for Vella, people expect at least one episode a week. And yeah, a lot of writers put out 2 to 3 episodes a week. So how often does Neil is still running, right?
No, Neil's completed.
Neil's completed because I haven't gotten to the end yet. I've been saving it, trying not to read too many per day because it's like, no, I'll download a pack of 5 and then I'll just read one because I'm one of those people that I hate getting to the end of a book. And so I will slow down when I really like a book. I will really slow down the reading because I don't want it to end.
Oh, and so thanks. I'm glad you feel that way. I'm the same way. And then I'll say, I'm too busy to read anyway today. So I will put it away so that I'm not tempted. But Neil, the Squeal, the first one is completed. So for those people who do not like that serial, I have to wait for the next chapter. You can read all the way through or you can read piecemeal. Now, I have currently only 2 stories running that are unfinished. I have one, Devil's Food, about a young baker in East Nashville who accidentally sells her soul to the devil. And then her guardian angel has to step in and help her get out of it. And then again, there's a twist to that. It's not your usual sell your soul kind of story. I call it a parable of redemption. And I have my, I think it's, yes, my fourth story in the Merlin Morgan series, Gin and Tonic. Gin being Genie, D-G-I, D-J-I-N-N. And that one is still running. We're about halfway through that. All the other ones are now completed. I am also working on another book for my new publisher. So
having to have the readers expect new episodes when you've got one running. Right. So does that get you energized knowing that you're putting something out that people are waiting for? Or does it kind of exhaust you knowing you have to get that out there?
Well, it does energize, it energizes you and it keeps you on a schedule. So there's no, I don't feel like writing today. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that. You have to like really carve out your time. You've made, you know, people have made a commitment to your story. They've invested their time and their tokens in it. So you have to give them new material. At one point I had five like live and I would have a schedule of what I was going to write. And you have to keep really good notes where you left off and this story, where you're planning on going with it, because you don't always write the same story every day. Now when I'm working on the actual novel, I'm spending a lot of time on the same story. And for me, that's very strange because I'm used to switching back and forth. Like, oh, who am I going to be today? Which character am I going to be in the head of today? But you do, if you're going to be on Vela, it is a commitment. I know as a reader, when I'm reading Velas and the author has like four or five up and I get invested in it, and then it like sits there like for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I know then at that point, I'm probably going to drop it and go look for something else, because, you know, we all want the end of the story. It's just like a television program. We don't want a story to just end and then we don't have any actual finish to it.
When you go to Vela, if you just go to Amazon and type in Kindle Vela, it'll come up and it'll explain how to buy tokens and all that. And if you buy your tokens on the desktop, you get more than if you buy on your phone. And I think Apple gets a cut when they do it on the phone, so they don't give out as many tokens. So make sure you always buy your tokens on the desktop, and they may still give out free tokens.
Yeah, I think they give out 200 to new readers, 200 tokens, which will get you, like, you know, and for most people, anywhere from 4 to 7 episodes. Okay.
Yeah.
Think most Vela authors like to keep it at like 1500 words. That's supposedly the sweet spot, but I've seen people do really well with, you know, 2600 words and so on. So it depends on how, I guess, invested you are into the story.
Yeah. That's everything. And so that brings us to that the tropes of a story. So there's categories that you can look at. And when someone looks at a mythology, Celtic mythology, there's certain things they expect. So when you write in that genre, if you write in a genre that where expectations are so high, do you find that you have to do exactly what the readers want? Or do you feel like you can stray and kind of make it a little bit outside the box and kind of stretch the expectations so you can come up with something different?
Well, I'm an actual original believer. I know there are writing classes out there, workshops, like what to write to sell, write to market. I can't be that kind of writer. I'm not knocking people who can. It would be awesome to make lots of money on my work, but to me, it was more important to write the story I wanted to tell. My stories are really heavily character-based. So my goal is to make you like fall in love with the characters in the first dozen chapters so that you want to keep reading, you care about what happens to them. Some people are plot readers, so they just want action, 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 action. I think it depends on what you like. But for me, I can't write what's popular. And now all you have to do is go through, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Bookstagram, Threads, you can see what's popular. And it isn't my bag. It's not something I read, especially the spicy stuff. It's huge market. There's a lot of readers for that. It's the biggest selling genre on Vella. I'm sure it's the biggest selling in their Kindle, but I can't do it. I tried writing a spicy parody kind of thing, and I just couldn't. I kept putting off every day working on that one because I just didn't like it. So yeah, I have to write what I find interesting, and if my characters, I try to make them as real as possible. So if I'm writing about the goddess of war and destruction, of course she would be a little on the edgy side, but she's also in my books a grandmother. So there's some grandma side to her, which is how I make mine more original than, let's say, if I was going to follow the real Celtic mythology, where, I mean, she just smotes everybody. So the Morgan is a very forceful character, and she is in my book, but she does have a soft spot. She will, like, you know, bounce a baby on her knee or something like that. So you know, I got to do what I got to do.
And I agree. I think you hit on it there. You're writing what you want to read. I think that you just need to write what you enjoy reading. So, right. So that's my advice to writers. Do you have advice? I mean, after being a writer now for how long have you been a writer?
Well, actually, I wrote my first story in second grade. It was like 7 sentences long about, of course, a magic cow. I must have been geared toward fantasy from the start. But seriously, I started blogging about 10 years ago when blogging became popular. And I was a educator. I taught middle school language arts. And we have the summers off, and that was the summer I'm going to start writing again. I always wanted to. I've been putting it off. Oh, I have my kids to raise. Oh, I have my job. I have this. I have that. I have this dollhouse hobby. I don't have time. So I decided I was going to blog, and I started blogging about the dollhouses, crafty things, how to build this or that. And then I started writing little stories about the houses or the settings that I was using up there. And the people came for the dollhouse stuff. They stayed for the stories. And then the stories took first place in their minds. So then I dropped all the crafting things mostly and just wrote the story. And it became the basis for the Merlin Morgan series. But then, you know, I tried to go the querying route and the find a literary agent thing, and it was 2 years of what I call hell. And then I said, oh, I'm spending too much time like begging people to look at my things and not enough writing. So I sort of just dropped that for a while. And then life took over. We moved several states away and sold a house that was a lot larger than the one we have now. So writing took, you know, a back seat. But I think full-time writing, where it's my major thing, didn't come till after I retired. And it's been like about 4 years now. And that's when I started writing like every day. I write every day, holidays, every day, at least an hour or so. So something gets on paper every day, especially with Vella. You really can't take a break because, again, if you have 5 stories running and people are waiting on all 5 stories, you have to keep writing.
You do. You do. So what advice would you give yourself if you could look back and see and talk to that first person who was just starting that blog for writing?
I would say, first of all, don't wait so long. I mean, I waited till I was practically 50 to do something I've wanted to do since I've been 10. So I let a lot of other things get in the way. Now, I know you have to be realistic. You have to have a job. You have family responsibilities. But I should have taken more time to test out what I could do, what I could put on paper. I just waited too long. My current advice to people now, anybody wanting to like write their own novel or get on Vella, is don't use Bookstagram or BookTok or any of that as your guideline, because the algorithms convince you that only one genre is worth writing, and there just isn't anything. I mean, all of these have all those little red spicy peppers, you know, one hot pepper, two hot pepper. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not getting any red pepper, maybe a poblano. No, more like a bell pepper, because mine isn't really that spicy. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Will anybody want to read something that doesn't have like five chili peppers on it? So it gives you kind of a warped view. And the fact is, there are people who read all kinds of genre. If you're writing science fiction, historical, a historical romance, it doesn't have to be romantasy, although I enjoy that, you know, as much as a lot of people. There are other things out there, and the algorithm gives you a really skewed kind of look at what you're supposed to write. And I think it frustrates people, kind of like gets them like, oh, I'm never going to be here. It just some of these books and some of these authors have huge fan clubs, you know, and they're on social media all the time. And it's basically marketing and doesn't really say anything about the quality of the book.
And you had said before that, you know, just it was life and all kinds of things kept you from writing. Don't forget that you can take 15 minutes and write on your phone and write a couple lines. I wrote the outline of a first book 2 minutes at a time while I drove a bear cart one summer.
Wow.
So, you know, I'd have just enough time to write like 10, 15, 20 words before somebody would come along and want a beer or a Bloody Mary. That's all I ever made were Bloody Marys. So, you know, if you've got even 5 minutes, if you have a cell phone with a notepad, you can seriously write that first draft. You just have to want it.
Right. You have to make it a priority or else it's just going to I'm a living proof. Time kind of slips away and then, you know, you have to really say, I'm doing this now. So,
yeah. And now I want to talk about, if you are not watching on YouTube, there are these wonderful dollhouses in the background behind Victoria. And can you tell us a little bit about the ones that are around you?
Well, all of the dollhouses, and I think there is like 12 in this room. Are based on some setting in one of my stories. And it's hard to say whether the dollhouse came first or the story came first or was it a little bit of both, but they all are from any of my stories. For instance, this big white one behind here is from Trick or Treaty. You can see the little, if you can see him, my little pumpkin with the sword through his head. That's a scene from that book. Behind me here, if you can see it, see if I can move it a little bit. That's going to be Doris's swamp cabin from Neil the Squeal. I just have the outside done. We haven't done any work on the inside. If I can scoot around here.
I don't know why I'm leaning around you. It's not
I know, because you want to
see. It's not going to make me see it. There we go.
I don't know if you can see this.
Oh,
one.
That's
this
great.
Favorite. This is my Ambrose Myrdin. He is the 26th Merlin. That is his home. It's awesome inside. It has all kinds of little magic stuff in there. So that's also from the Trick or Treating Merlin Morgan series. If I flip you this way, you can see there's more. There's a church there.
Yeah.
There's Father Kevin's rectory. The other one in the corner is from the Tooth Fairy Tales. The one directly behind here is a work in progress. It's going to be a farm to table deli, but I haven't touched that one like I think in 4 months because, you know, life gets in the way. But yeah, it's another outlet for me. I have been collecting, building, rehabbing dollhouses for, I would say, over 40 years. It's a hobby I started like in my early 20s and I kept through. And again, that went on hold when I, you know, I had kids of my own. I have boys, so I have no one so far to pass this on to yet. Maybe grandchildren. So that will be exciting. But I figure I'm enjoying them now. When I'm gone, my kids will have to figure out what to do with it all. I'm not going to worry about it.
I wouldn't either, you know, and those are awesome.
Well, thank you. I put a lot of time into them and a lot of money. Some friends who also collect dolls say this is a hobby for people who have too much time and too much money because it's actually quite expensive.
Yeah, I'm looking at the White House behind you. It looks like do the windows go up and down? Do they open on the second shelf, on the second story? Oh my God, the windows do.
Yep. You know, and now this is a classic European style of the house. It opens from the front. It's like a cupboard. So if I were to swing this open, let's see if I can. It's tight
Oh,
spaces.
geez. Yeah.
I can close the front and then let me swing you around here. You can see maybe into it.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so this one is completely closed. Others, the back is open. So I don't know if you can see.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Lingerie on the bed.
Wallpaper on the
Yeah,
walls,
I've been
paintings
active
on
a
the
lot.
walls.
Yes. Yes, there are, and some of my paintings, I don't know in this house, but some of them, okay, my daughter-in-law did that one, but some of them are actually original oils that I have found and have reframed for the houses. So, I mean, you can get carried away. Some, a lot of the stuff I make myself, some of it I buy. I'm always antiquing. I'm always looking for vintage pieces, but it's a hobby that gives me a lot of pleasure. I enjoy it. I can come up here and just like be away somewhere else. And it's great for generating ideas. And also when you're doing like scenes where they walk from this room to that room, sat here, I have a visual in front of me. So I feel like my scenes, my actions actually make sense when you read them because, you know, I'm moving them in my characters in my head.
Wow, and I just have maps drawn on my whiteboards. It's very 2D
Everybody
and
has
very
to
boring.
Visualize one way or the other.
Oh, I love those dollhouses. I love dollhouse. I mean, I played with dolls till I was well in my teens, just because I was telling stories, and we were, and that's how I never wrote things down until I was probably in my 40s, but I you know, verbally told stories all the time, and so I wish that I'd actually written some of them down because, you know, most of them are gone. I don't remember any of them, but.
Yeah, that's a clue. If you think of something, write it or type it or send it to your email or something because you won't remember. There's been things I like, oh, that would be a great twist. And then I go, what was that thing I was thinking of like 2 days ago in the shower? And I didn't write it down. So
Yeah.
write everything down. That's a really good tip.
Yes, it is. It is. So you have your dollhouses that you do sometimes, and your kids are grown?
My kids are adults, yeah. Adults.
So you can write full time now then.
I write full time now. Yeah,
that's
an everyday thing. I'm retired. I feel very grateful that, you know, I don't have to depend on my writing for my income. I know a lot of fellow authors count on their Vela money as income. So, I mean, I think that puts an added stress level to it. I do not. My push to write basically comes from like, I don't want to leave my readers hanging because I would be annoyed if I were in that position. But I don't have to like, oh my gosh, I got to get more out there because, you know, it's going to affect my payment for the month. So I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm very grateful that you were able to write Neil the Squeal because when I saw the title, I read a lot of Velas. I read a lot. I'm always scrolling Vela and looking for things. And I follow several Vela groups and I find things to read on there. And I was so happy to see Neil the Squeal. That's just...
It's just fun. It's a fun... It does not take itself too seriously. It's just supposed to be entertainment value, and I hope that's what people get out of it.
Yeah, and you have a lot of nice nods to pop culture and culture from the 50s and 60s. I mean, I love Dellen Cassidy for the name.
Yeah.
And there were several things. I should have stopped and made notes as I've been going through and reading, because there were many times that I read it and thought, oh, that's a great pun, or... I know exactly what piece of culture, TV culture,
that
whatever
from.
That you're nodding to, in that, and just the idea that Santa is not the person that everybody thinks he is.
Right, right. And isn't that true though? In a lot of cases, the people we, you know, we'll hear something about a celebrity and we're like, really? That person? So, I mean, everybody has their secrets, and Santa has his apparently. Neil was not a big fan of paying taxes. Who is? But he got caught. So, it, like I said, it made him like a real good person to use against the big guy.
So how many episodes are there of Neil the Squeal?
Oh, I have to look. Give me 1 second. I can... Neil also has a cookie cookbook this year. I gave him a holiday cookie cookbook. So he has some holiday recipes, and right now I'm not going to find him. Oh, there he is. That was new this year. I have two cookbooks, and one, they're both character based. The other one's based on characters from my shared universe, Merlin Morgan and the Tooth Fairy Tales. And there's recipes, and the characters give you a little like funny story before they give you your recipe. There are 61 episodes in Neil the Squeal, and it's complete at 61.
Okay, so. I think I'm about halfway through. Oh,
okay.
Halfway through, I'm so sad.
Well, the ending I've been told is you're not going to see it coming.
So, oh, fantastic.
So it's good.
I love that. And you said you're working on a sequel to it?
Yeah, that like I said, Purses, Curses, and Ancient Verses. And it has something to do with knockoff designer handbags. And goes, of course, because Neil's involved, everything goes sideways because Neil is really the most unluckiest person ever. So I don't want to give too much away because there's a lot of things that happen like at the point you're at. So I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's a fun ride. It's a fun
yeah.
ride.
Yeah, and they all feel like real characters. They're very developed. They're not just two-dimensional, and they're not just kind of throwaway characters. I mean, they feel like real people to me. And I as soon as you added Doris, I'm saying Doris, right?
Doris Rumbottom, yeah.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember her last name. She calls herself Doris Rumbottom.
That's right. That's right. So as soon as you added her, I thought, oh, this is interesting because she's going to be more than she's letting on.
In the HOA president, yeah. We have an HOA. This is our first experience living in a community that has an HOA. It's a 55 plus community. And we weren't used to like people telling us what we could like put on our front porch and what color it had to be. So there's a couple of my books I like really poke at HOAs. I have another one that's actually set right here, actually set in my backyard. It's my Civil War ghost story because I live behind the Civil War plantation. I mean, like directly, directly there, the berm between them and me is like, you know, couple feet from my back door. So I always thought that would be like ghosty stories because this wasn't the house is built on land that was at one point a Civil War encampment for the Confederates for the Battle of Spring Hill. So I wrote a story about my community, and it's very thinly veiled. So it has some funny things about HOAs and our pickleball courts. And
now, is that one available?
Yeah, that one's also on Velo Call called My Sweet Johnny Reb. So that's on there too. So I got a bunch of them out there.
Okay, we'll have to read that one next then because I love all that. I've lived in HOAs and we're in a new development right now. So we are counting down the days till we take over the HOA and we can vote out the company running it currently because
right.
They're making
us nuts. We're at
that
point right now. So, yeah. Which is lending its own kind of problems about who's going to be in charge, but okay, whatever. We'll get used to it.
Yeah. And I know there was a guy that I was cheering him on that his HOA was making him nuts and he got on the board and he got the votes and they disbanded the HOA.
Oh, okay.
Good for him. They must not have had a pool and they just, you know, if I suppose if you had it just so, cause I've seen HOAs that just have it where just the common areas. One place we were looking at moving to, it was $11 a month. And all you did was pay into the fund that mowed the common areas. And there were no pool. And there was no rules, no nothing. It was just mowing the grasses in the common area for $11 a month. And I thought that's really, unfortunately we have a pool in ours. So with insurance
and
all
that.
We have
the pool, we have the tennis courts, the pickleball courts, the walking paths. So, I mean, all of that has, you know, decisions have to be made. But it makes for very good fodder for your story.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, I'm so happy you came on today. Everybody, you have to read Neil the Squeal Gets a Deal, A Christmas Elf in Witness Protection. I had to read that to make sure I said it right. It's on Kindle Vella, and I will have links in the show notes. And if you have not been on Kindle Vella before, you should still be able to get 200 free tokens, which will get you maybe through 8 episodes, maybe, because the first 3 are free. And then you'll be hooked and you'll buy more. Make sure you buy more on the desktop. So you get 1,700 tokens for like $14.95.
Right.
And I think it's a couple hundred less if you buy it on your phone. So definitely buy them on the desktop. And that's it. We'll have, like I said, we'll have everything in the show notes. Please check out Victoria's stories because they are fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks. I had a good time.
You'll find everything we discussed down in the show notes. A special thank you to Laura Lynn Hardy for writing the theme for Books Cubed. That's her on the vibraphone, and Billy Tyke Miller on the drums. It was recorded at Mill Kids Recording in Huntsville, Alabama. And that's it for now. Until next time, go read a good book.